Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from 50th and Capitol Avenue in the Big O, this is Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and 1620 The Zone TV. Now here's Gary, Nick, and Jimmy.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America. And gentlemen, start your engine!
Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome in. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone TV, the app, anywhere you can get us. You got us for the next 4 hours. I am not down with this weather.
Nope.
What is going on outside?
People are driving crazy, too. Driving.
Are they really? Crazy.
Yeah.
That's Omaha.
Yeah.
Morning, but like,
brought to you by the letter F.
This, okay, we had to drive in on many worse situations, especially early January.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord, you would think that was the same thing. People are driving like literally 15 miles on this expressway. It was awful.
15 miles an hour?
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
It was really bad. So it's spitting snow out here and it's rain and it's just for the 26th of March, it's gross. I'm not down with this weather. I thought we were done with this.
Rick on the street,
it's just a reminder.
70 on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, wait a little bit in 15 minutes and the weather will change in Nebraska.
But uh-huh.
So people were driving slow?
Yeah, real slow. And then even when I was coming over by campus, by Omaha there, yeah, it was, people were, it was like having to, I don't like to be that guy that has to aggressively change lanes because you're going too slow, especially when it is like really bad weather, but it's not that bad where it's.
You can still pass.
I feel like we haven't had this enough this winter where people kind of forget. And
Dodge Expressway usually is a mixture of the slow people that like to drive in the left lane and the fast people that drive in the right lane.
Yes, yes. That's also very, very accurate.
Dodge Speedway.
But
should make it 80 miles an hour out on the Dodge Expressway.
They should.
In one specific lane, they should let you let you pay money to drive in the fast lane on the expressway.
You could have like a little tag. Like a little end tag.
End tag, yes.
I mean, because we know it, they're going to plow down the Dodge Expressway and put up an area for streetcars.
Yes, exactly.
We'll be able to drive our own vehicles.
It's going to expand
that's the
out
way
that
it's
way.
Going. It's America. They're taking away our wheels. Mm-hmm. They're taking away our guns. They're taking away our wheels.
Taking away our freedoms.
And I'll talk to you in November. This morning, so the biggest story going on in this morning is a major news story in the city of Baltimore. The Francis Scott Key Bridge was hit early this morning by a container ship. It hit one of the columns, and the bridge, which is a main artery into Baltimore, collapsed into the water.
Mm-hmm.
There is a video, and I don't know if this is just a camera that is always... fixed on the bridge.
Yeah.
Like it's not on the bridge, but it is like
it's
in the
view.
Yeah, it's in the harbor.
Yeah, like a traffic camera.
So and it's looking right at the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment of contact that the container ship hits one of the columns, you see the bridge collapse into the water. Now, the fire official in Baltimore said there's a dire emergency. I think they said they were looking for seven people in the water.
Ugh.
It happened early this morning. It happened like at 1:30 Eastern time. So you know, whatever traffic is on that bridge would be less than it happening like right now.
Which would have been an even bigger disaster happen now.
Well, now we're seeing shots in the daylight since it's obviously 7-11 out there. And it's wow.
How does a container ship, which, you know, I mean, we've all seen bridges in areas where you have container ships that move up and down rivers or the Gulf or whatever. They are well lit. They also have warning lights on them.
Yeah.
Apparently, power went out on the boat, and it just started drifting.
Oh.
And they could not get it back on, and when they did, it was too late.
That's not good.
So you see it turn off, and then just see it drifting. And
I mean, that's in
worst case scenario.
You kind of forget
with that
how well those things are built, the engineering that goes into them, but what just a massive force like that. And I mean, if you've seen this, and if you're waking up to this too, I mean, it's like
Twitter.
Smack dab in the middle of, like, almost like the highest point of the bridge. It's not like a very high arcing bridge, but in the basically the base of, like, where it's at its high point is essentially what that container ship hits. And I mean, it's a large container ship too, but just that type of force that can undo all of what has been put up there with the amount of, again, the engineering that goes into it. My brother-in-law is a civil engineer, and he and his friends, they went to SIU in Southern Illinois, and they were actually on a bridge building team. They had competitions. Wow. And so anytime he goes by any type of bridge structure, like, he just geeks out over it, but has always, like, talked to me about, like, all the stuff that goes into it. It's just, and I see when something like this happens, or you see, like, deterioration, I think about all of the things that I always took for granted of, like, this is how you make a bridge. But yeah, it's just,
it looks like as you watch the video of contact early this morning, it looks like one of those demolition.
Yes.
Where you hit the button and you're trying to blow up a bridge.
Exactly.
And it just piece by piece collapse into the water.
At first I thought, what, did they do that? And then I realized what it was.
Yeah, it was like a controlled thing. Obviously not. But Jimmy and I were talking about this too, because, I mean, heck, you were, gosh, would you have been? No, you wouldn't have been in Minnesota at that time when they had
I was working for the Twins on the night that it happened.
Oh, the Royals were in town.
And, it was
at the Dome.
Like,
bridge many a times.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
We had local news in Fort Myers come to the ballpark to interview Minnesotans. It was, but here's the other one closer to when I lived in that part of the country. And I think maybe some people that went to the Final Four for volleyball, because I directed them, I said, hey, it's kind of a scenic, cool thing. Or if you've been in the Tampa St. Pete area, the Sunshine Skyway Bridge, which is a, gigantic bridge. Mm-hmm. It connects Lower Tampa Bay to St. Petersburg, but it once got hit by a ship and people died.
Oh, wow.
And so,
how long ago was that?
This is like back in the 80s.
Okay.
And when I first moved to Florida, the remnants of the old bridge were still up in the water.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of creepy. And they built the Sunshine Skyway Bridge a lot higher than the original one. But it was, like, really creepy to see that, people perished as a ship hit the old bridge.
Right.
But I always think about that when I go across that. But this is just eerie watching it. And, again, they're still looking for people in the water. But if something, like a tragedy like this is going to happen, probably the timing when there are less people on that bridge, better.
1:30.
Yeah, because the 35W bridge was almost rush hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was brutal. And I'm not someone who's scared of heights. Now, it's weird, in my older age, I've become a little bit more quaky in the legs when I get up high. But every time we drove over that, in that area, in that bridge before, I remember even thinking, this bridge is up there. And now, ever since that's happened, anytime we drive over any bridge, it doesn't matter what. It at least has its, like, split second of crossing.
When
my
you
mind.
Drive over the Mormon Bridge,
yeah, it's true. I go over that bridge. Well, especially when they had that thing under construction. They're like, oh, is everything good?
Yeah.
They did clear this thing, right? I mean, we're all good here, right? I know now we're blue and green and stuff, but we're good.
Yeah, it gets a little hairy. I will say driving over the Sunshine Skyway Bridge can be a little bit hairy. The Cooper River Bridge, which I've driven over many times in Charleston, is one of those, high suspended bridges. If you've ever been to the New Orleans area, the I-10 high bridge, that can be a little bit like,
The Harbor Bridge in Corpus was like that, I remember.
Yeah. You know what? We did not, when I was down in Corpus in December, we did not go over it, but you saw it. I'm like, wow, that is way up there.
Oh, I had a friend that would not even look. He would close his eyes when we drove on it.
That's
sad.
You'll see that all over the news today, but the video is pretty jarring.
Yeah.
On the moment of contact, and you can hear the ship hit the column, and then just almost simultaneously the bridge collapse into the water. If you know anybody in the Baltimore area, again, that's a major artery into that city. All right, welcome in, everybody. Last night, the Creighton women, their season came to an end against UCLA in a 2-7 game at Pauley Pavilion. So one of the more successful seasons for Creighton women's basketball. Flantastic has come to an end, and they have decisions to make. They could run it back, or they could have some of their seniors move on, but they have an opportunity to have definitely the core come back for another year. And last night was an interesting night for women's basketball. So March Madness, it's kind of chalky across the board on the men and the women.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have a great Sweet 16 on both men's and women's side. But the women staggering their tournament, they get Monday night to themselves.
Yep.
And you've got individual stars, Hidalgo from Ole Miss. Then you go to Paige Beckers, who quietly put up 30 last night for UConn. They go to another Sweet 16. Was this 31st straight year that Connecticut has gone to the Sweet 16? And then you get, of course, Caitlin Clark. And then you get Juju Watkins, who, man, I can't wait to watch her in the Big Ten next year. When USC moves to the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 in women's basketball is really, really good. I mean, I think they have five of the 16.
Yeah, UCLA, obviously.
Yeah, and they got Stanford, of course. Mm-hmm. But Pac-12 women's basketball is pretty good. When she gets to an area where they will highlight her more, Juju Watkins, if you didn't already know who she was, she's going to explode next year in the Big Ten. And that's why I'm hoping, Nebraska gets USC for a home game. But watching women's basketball last night, and I don't know, I didn't get off the couch once the game started.
Sounds nice.
Some people call it a sofa.
I'm a couch guy.
A couch.
If you are of the older set, do you call it a sofa?
Yeah, I think so.
Team couch, not Tim couch.
Yeah, I'm all about couch.
Okay. Yeah. Someone said sofa, I heard, and I was like, I haven't heard that in a long time.
I've heard Davenport.
That was a popular one.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, old. You're Davenport.
Old.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Kind of a Midwestern term.
You refer to your couch as the Davenport? A Davenport?
I think if I remember correctly, it was like a brand back then.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's nice.
Probably had plastic on it.
Yeah, right.
Listen to the fireside chat.
Probably the most uncomfortable thing you've ever sat on in your life, though.
But it lasts forever.
Very rigid.
First time I went to my dad's parents' house, and I was really, really little. I have very little remembrance of them. I was probably 5 or 6, and the only thing I really remember about my dad's parents is they had plastic on their couch, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah, why?
And I thought because, you know, you'd open packages that you had to rip it off. So I was like gnawing. I was like trying to pull it off.
Thinking you're doing him a favor.
Yeah. I haven't been to a house in a long time that's got plastic on the couches.
I haven't either.
Sofa Davenport retired. We're on the couch.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
nice couching. Cold night.
So we know we have important women that are in our lives, men and women, and we know that the world revolves around women. I'm here to tell you, I'm very disappointed in us men, especially us men that are college basketball players, which does not include any of us three.
Nope.
So watching more women's basketball over the last few years, man. What has happened to men's college basketball with trash talking? Because we have been eclipsed by women's basketball and trash talking. Women's basketball players talk more trash than men's basketball players do. And there are a lot of women's basketball players, not just the headliners that, you know, the casual fan knows their name.
Right.
They talk crazy all the time. Now, I guess I need to pay more attention to like high school girls basketball and AAU girls basketball. Is this something where the girls and women talk more trash than the men these days? Because we do talk a lot of trash as men.
Yeah.
But in the women's college game, man, there is so much noise going on, whether it be to Cameron Brink of Stanford, who's walking up the court after fouling out the other night in the Stanford-Iowa State game, and she tells the official to F you, which, if you are watching women's basketball, everybody is saying that officiating in women's basketball is atrocious. It's just it is stunting the game.
Yeah.
Then you have, you know, Caitlin Clark on a nightly basis is going to drop a handful of F-bombs. You can actually go to FanDuel and get a prop on how many F-bombs that Caitlin Clark will drop during a game.
Fantastic.
But the Syracuse UConn game, they're talking trash not only to the officials but to each other. Like, women's basketball is better than men's basketball when it comes to trash talking.
Wait, did you mean
I didn't think I would say that.
That, like, the Syracuse players were talking trash to themselves, like, to their own team?
No, they were talking back to UConn.
Yeah,
they were going back and forth. And I mean, we already know Angel Reese is the queen of trash talking in women's basketball, but there are so many players. I mean, she's got one on her own team, the transfer from Louisville, Van Lith. They talk crazy to each other.
Right.
And they just let that go. And it might actually, you know, I guess it's okay for the sport, but I'm like, wow, I've watched back-to-back nights where is the preferred, I guess you would call it a verb, of the women's college basketball player is the F word?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very easy one to roll off the tongue, too. Just a blank off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy. Who's the West Virginia player that was getting into it with Caitlin Clark?
All of them.
Quinterly?
Yes,
yeah, well,
thank you.
Right,
yeah, Quinterly.
All of them.
Well, but especially Quinterly.
I remember Quinterly.
And I know that their head coach had put out like the little, like, you know, it sent her packet, and that kind of started a little bit of the bulletin board material, too. I've noticed the Caitlin Clark thing has been interesting because I think she invokes it out of, and this isn't like a new development. I get this is how she was, you know, during her whole time, but the lobbying for calls and
she did a lot of officiating last night.
Oh, big time. And then now you're starting to get dad cam, which is really funny because he's not a big fan of it.
Brought to you by
no.
He's not a big fan of sometimes her antics. There's one, it was in their first round game where you could tell she kind of like loses her cool a little bit because she shoves a player, then she gets called for a charge. And they keep showing her dad, and you can read his lips. Yeah. He says, "Get her out of there," because she's lost her composure. But the overall demeanor there, it I think it pulls it out of the opposition too, to where especially if they know they kind of have, and this happened in the national championship game with Angel Reese. Once you kind of know that you might have a little bit of edge on her, you can see teams and players. They understand how good she is, so they're figuring, hey, this might be my best defense right here, so I'm just going to try to take her off her game a little bit.
Well, West Virginia had a good philosophy last night. Well, we're going to get into that game because there's you know, a lot of new eyes on women's basketball, which is great, but then there's a lot of, well, why does the sport do that? But who was she saying last night to the crowd? You know, she was trying to, you know, pump up the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Whatever happened to raising the roof?
Oh, I'm with you. Raising the roof. But you know what?
It's, Bin Laden?
Yeah, probably. Because 1996, that was
we used
that
to
was key
no,
raising
that was,
roof time.
Hey, white guys raising the roof?
Everybody raised
don't
the
you connect
roof
against
then.
Baylor Shireman? Who's going to look better at raising the roof?
Getting very rigid. You know who did it? Was in Kansas' national championship, David McCormick. Remember? After every basket he'd make, and it was very clunky looking, too. He'd be like, in a big moment, that's the last player I saw doing a raise the roof. It was David McCormick.
Who was, so, you know, the camera is always on her. And
yeah, you got Caitlin Cam. Why wouldn't you?
Who was she dropping the F-bomb on? She looked into the crowd. Was it her parents?
Might have been dad.
Who's Hy-Vee's biggest rival?
It seriously might have been dad.
Well, that's another downfall around here of Iowa women continuing to play, and you knew it wasn't going to happen. I mean, that the script has already been written. They were not going to allow them to lose
in
Iowa City. Is you got to put up another day in this town of Hy-Vee, and they've got these signs up that are Hy-Vee Hawkeyes.
Yeah,
but there's the other problem. I don't know how many times you guys go to Hy-Vee.
Usually twice a week.
I need to go later today.
I mean, it's gotten so bad now that, you know, you got the cutout of Caitlin Clark and she's selling you the Chinese food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You walk by it and it falls down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad it's gotten. But now we got to put up with at least another game.
They want to make it really lifelike, Gary.
Of the
low-key one of your best ones.
the flopper.
That's amazing.
Can't get this close to Michael.
Test it out.
Walk by and just goes.
Any listener that
and you
goes
hear
to
a whistle
Hy-Vee this morning.
And then you hear a whistle.
Let us know. You get a foul.
No, yeah. The manager of that Hy-Vee comes running out of nowhere blowing his whistle. Yeah.
Go this way.
High stepping.
I wonder, you know how they have the Hy-Vee employees have the H+ logo, and it at first it looks like they are represent like a Catholic high school because the plus looks like a cross. Anyway, that's just my observation. At what point will they have like Hy-Vee Caitlin Clark jerseys that the employees will wear? If they make a national championship, don't put it past them. At least in the state of Iowa. That'll be the preferred Hy-Vee employee outfit.
Many residents will drive terribly to Baker's now to do their shopping once that happens.
I love that though. But the women's game leans into the trash talk.
I like it.
They do.
Like even coaches. Mm. You know, we don't have as many characters in college basketball. Like Bobby Hurley is trying to be that guy, Danny Hurley, excuse me, trying to be that guy. But we don't have
Bobby's trying.
The Big Eight. We don't have that.
We don't have like characters and I don't know. We don't have a lot of beefs. You know what?
No.
Like we don't have a lot of beefs in the men's game. Mm-hmm. But in the women's game, everybody talks crazy. You've got trash talk on refs. You've got trash talk on trash talk. And then you also have coaches that are not afraid to express opinions. So Paige Beckers last night, who actually, before her injury, she was supposed to be Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Paige Beckers was en route to being Caitlin Clark. Paige Beckers suffers a severe knee injury, misses some time, and during that time, Caitlin Clark takes off and everybody focuses on Iowa City, which, oh, by the way, in stores, they've had five McDonald's All-Americans have been injured, and somehow Gino Auriemma is still moving right along. Beckers puts up 30 last night, and Gino, after the game, says, like, she's the best player in the country.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes.
Yes.
This is the women's game gets it.
And when Gino says it, many people listen. And I love how he said I think we do this just in our general way of trying to get a point across sometimes, whether you want to call it trash talk or just trying to be right. When we throw in the just saying, and then you bring up something that might back it up, he goes, according to the numbers and the analytics, I mean, that's what it's saying.
According to Twitter. I'm just saying.
And I loved it because it was with all of the hype of that night and being headlined by Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I love Gino going to bat for his players, and his player in particular is saying, she's the best player. Just saying. I mean, the analytics, the numbers, everything proves it. Just in case you want to know, we have the best player on our team. I loved it.
Is there trash talking on the women's side in other sports, even like high school? Now, the closest I can remember this year in high school basketball trash talking is when Scott and Elkhorn North were playing in the B
stands?
Final. Well, in the stands, yeah.
I don't know if that involved necessarily females more.
Wild because some people are worried. You know, I mean, Creighton's going to Detroit. Things can get a little hairy in Detroit.
Yeah.
I hear they're taking that Scott Parent with them.
Don't want any of that.
But, you know, you had Elkhorn North and Scott, both coaches kind of got into it with each other in the B final. Do we have trash talking in other women's sports that I'm not aware of that I need to go watch?
Like, in general,
is volleyball or like is softball like really
women's golf?
Is there a high volume of trash talk in
women's
softball?
College women's volleyball seems to be the trash talk in that seems to be more coach on coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why when I would see Becca Alec come as close to what I would consider trash talk, but not really trash talk.
Just give a look.
It stood out. So I don't think you see it a lot in volleyball, which is
kind of crazy.
It's not
like you can't go on the other side of the net and get in someone's face.
Right.
That is a frowned upon, maybe?
Yeah.
We played in front of 92,000.
But, I mean, you could also, you know.
Like, even in softball. Like, baseball, we're seeing, if you want to watch an absolute gong show, go back and watch the LSU-Florida series from this past weekend at the box. I mean, they are chirping at each other the whole time. So college baseball
that has never left them. Dugouts get involved. Oh, it's great.
But even softball, like college softball, you strike somebody out, there's no like trash talk. Instead of it's STRIKE. Yeah, all of that.
Oh, that's
some type.
Goodness.
Yeah, something. You know, some type of organized chant that comes out, but it's more positive to
the team. Nice pitch.
Hey, women's college basketball, you have got the trash talk down, and I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not for bad officiating, which you've got an issue and you've got to fix.
But we covered this.
But
I am
straight up for trash talk. That's why I was disappointed. There wasn't a lot of trash talk in the UCLA Creighton game last night. I flipped over after watching a boxing match in Iowa City, and I'm like, hey, let's go. And like UCLA and Creighton were nice to each other.
Yeah, there was a bucket.
Flan is way too nice.
There was like a Kiki Rice.
He needs to stop being such a nice guy.
Flan's a great human being.
I
love Flan.
You see him dancing.
I want him to point at Kiki Rice last night and go, F you.
What did I do?
So the Creighton part of it, when you were bringing up the trash talking, I was wondering if you're going to go to the Creighton part of it, because I noticed the the players were doing a lot of stare downs. Creighton's players were doing a lot of stare downs to UCLA. But this was more when UCLA was making their comeback there
passive
in the second
aggression.
Half. That I think it was Kiki Rice. She kind of got physical inside, got a call that she was going to the free throw line. But she got kind of animated and as she was cheering with her teammates. And there were two Creighton players that just gave her like the... Like just stared right at her. It wasn't trash talk, but their eyes did the trash talking, Gary.
Nice?
Yeah.
You're afraid that you get an email from the father.
Well, that's true. You got to be on your best behavior.
Bless
that goes beyond just the student section.
Oh, yeah,
that goes to the student athletes.
You don't want to get blue crewed.
Yeah, I mean it was a good game. What if they win that game and you get blue crewed?
Well, if they win that game, you know who would have been next? Would have been LSU.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How perfect would that have been? Creighton would have been playing LSU in the week that Kim Mulkey takes herself down from the cross to read the Washington Post, and you're playing Angel Reese. All right, the lineup brought to you by the roof rees of John Higgins
I've been
Weather
to Baton Rouge. I don't remember that.
That's Easter weekend too.
I've done a game.
Wow.
I've done a game in the Maryland
you're on,
Center.
You're
I don't
on
remember
you're on
that.
Fire
cross.
This morning, Sharp. You're on fire.
Good lineup this morning.
Good job.
It is a good lineup.
Wait till I go into my diatribe about who will be a worse parent, LeVar Ball or Deion Sanders. All right, the Rooferies brought to you, bring you the lineup. The Rooferies by John Higgins Weather Guard. Sam McEwen will join us at 7:30. It's Troy Dannon Day in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska will officially announce their new athletic director. Tim Kruger will stop by at 8 with his thoughts on the first weekend of the tournament. We'll get into the best matchup of the Sweet 16. What is the best matchup, and where does the Tennessee-Creighton matchup fit in? Also, your worst matchup. So TK will stop by at 8. Steve Murfeld off of Mac's staff. Murph will be here at 8:30 as they have gone into full prep for Tennessee.
He's a March Madness legend.
Yes, he is. I mean, the last time Iowa State lost as a 2 seed, they lost to Hampton, 15 seed, 2001, and Steve Murfeld got lifted off the ground. We'll ask him, when was the last time you were lifted that high?
Since then.
You know, like some weddings.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Some religious weddings, they put you on the chair and they lift you up. I wonder if you can have that happen to you and you don't need to be involved in one of those ceremonies.
Yeah, you're just like, hey, guys, I'll get in the chair.
Yeah. So Murph coming up at 8:30, and then Brian Christopherson at 9. I'm sure people perused a little bit. So spring football got started yesterday, and there were photos. So people went through photos and looked at photos.
And videos of Heinrich Harburg throwing on the rollout through a seed, man.
You think
seed.
He took the first snap of spring? A team-on-team period, did Heinrich Harburg take the first snap?
I bet he did. I bet it's symbolic, yeah.
It was good while it lasted for Dylan Raiola. Yeah. I thought he beat out Heinrich Harburg in winter conditioning. He did not.
Yep.
Still going. Quick tweet here from Jake. I watched Jake last night. Boy, national people got it, Jake. Jake was not happy with the officiating in the West Virginia-Iowa game. The disparity of free throw attempts in that game. Which, I'm all for what West Virginia tried to do. And because of the style they played, they got called, and that's what they were trying to do. Hey, Caitlin Clark was exhausted at the end of that game. He says, what we watched in Iowa City last night was an embarrassment to women's basketball. Mm-hmm. The most anticipated women's tournament of all time, and that's what we get. Iowa was literally handed the game by the refs, or they lose by double digits. What a friggin' joke. They only made one field goal in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Well, there was no game six of the Western Conference
Finals. There's a lot of lobbying for calls, especially in the first half.
So the officiating is not very consistent all in the women's game. Mm-hmm. But last night, West Virginia, that was what their game plan was. They were going to beat the crap out of Iowa.
Yep.
And they did. I mean, they wore down Iowa, and they exhausted all of their fouls at their disposal. I mean, that was their game plan. And
they were in the game.
Yeah, and if they would have hit more threes, because they attempted 34 threes, they were left wide open by Iowa. If they hit more of those threes, they pull a major upset, and everybody is sad because Caitlin Clark is not playing anymore, especially ABC and ESPN. The disparity was awful large, but I'm not surprised that Iowa went to the free throw line that much with what West Virginia was trying to do.
Yeah.
And if you have the ability to do that, I'd do that every single night against Iowa. And that Iowa team doesn't have a secondary option. Mm-hmm. The post player they had last year.
I know who you're talking about.
Canizano. Canizano was a great outlet for when Caitlin Clark was getting shut down. They don't have her this year. That Iowa team is, I mean, I don't know if they beat LSU. But if they beat LSU, I mean, they would have to get to the Elite Eight. They have a run here. Iowa's not gonna do this. They'd play LSU, UConn, and South Carolina if it stays chalk.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good, that's hard.
That's a path.
And they play Colorado.
It's a lot of trash.
They play Colorado, and here's something to watch. Here's another part of the effect of Caitlin Clark. They play at 2:30 on Saturday on ABC. Mm-hmm. So they play Colorado. It's a rematch of their Sweet 16 last year. And, you know, Iowa's had these clunkers in that second game at Carver Hawkeye. Look at Creighton beat them there a couple years ago. Last year against Georgia, they were really clunky, and they went on to play for the national championship. So anything can happen. But this Iowa team is not as good as the one last year. But they're going to play at 2:30. I think the game will be over by the time that CBS kicks off the...
Should be.
The Elite Eight in two regionals. Like the first Elite Eight game. The first Elite Eight game will go like at 5?
Yeah. It's typically late after. Yep,
so
right.
The Iowa effect will be over. So it won't be going like partially... Head-to-head, but they will do a huge number on ABC on Saturday.
Yep. It works out perfectly. You're right, because, you're going to get a 5 o'clock. It's right around 5:15, and then you'll get like the 7:30, 7:45 final one on Saturday. So, and is Colorado, obviously that draw is Iowa, is 22, we get that, but... That's what Iowa this year. You mentioned even the clunkers in the second round of the NCAA tournament, but even this year in Big Ten play, where they've kind of gone maybe three or four games to where then all of a sudden they just play one that they get very vulnerable. Not even like when they lost to Nebraska, but other teams where they probably were very lucky to get out of them against maybe a lower tiered Big Ten team. So I don't know. We'll see. Because I didn't watch the Colorado K-State game, but saw that Colorado really put it on K-State pretty well, too.
K-State couldn't score in the second half.
Yeah. So,
All right. Off and running. 40 past the hour on a Tuesday. Good lineup. Sam McCune's going to join us in less than an hour. Speaking of a quick note on girls basketball, Jimmy might have more of this in his update. Ann Prince retired yesterday as the girls basketball coach at Elkhorn North. 4 years, 4 titles.
That's good.
She couldn't have done better.
Yeah. No.
But she goes out and will spend time able to watch her daughter, who will be at Nebraska next year. All right, you can always join the conversation on the 42 Degree The Source hotline. Thoughts about Tennessee Creighton? Mac was on Field of 68 last night, said a couple of interesting things. We'll talk more about Tennessee and Creighton in that matchup coming up on Friday night at 9:00. 951-1620. You can always email us into the Equitable Bank inbox. Gary at 1620thezone.com.
Hanley, 1620thezone.com.
Or on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed at GarySharp1620.
At Nick Hanley, 1620.
All right, when we come back, the special visitor at Creighton's practice yesterday, that light practice they had, what was he doing there? We'll tell you when we come back. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.